Turn now to our Bible reading for this morning from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we're going to start reading at verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 33, reading from verse 26, and then we'll read through to the end of the next chapter, chapter 34. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him, and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power, or perform the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. We thank God this morning for his precious and infallible word. Us to look at some words that were spoken by Moses at the very close of his earthly life and ministry. Words we find in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. Moses says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Moses, the great man of God, the man who walked with God, the great spiritual leader, Moses, was about to die. Very soon his soul was going to pass into the presence of God, and his body was going to be buried in the ground, buried not by a human undertaker, but buried rather by God himself. But before that happens, before Moses dies, he gathers together the tribes of Israel, and he pronounces a blessing on each one of the tribes individually. And then, having done that, he addresses the tribes corporately. He says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, this morning, very briefly, I just want us to notice from those words three very wonderful truths that Moses tells us about the nature and character of God. And first of all, Moses speaks of the glory of God. He says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun is a poetic name for Israel. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. Moses was about to leave the tribes behind. How could they possibly manage without Moses? After all, we read there in verse 12 of chapter 34, no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. How could the tribes possibly manage without Moses? Well, Moses' answer is this. Moses says, look up. There's someone far greater than Moses. Someone unique. Someone incomparable. Someone who's always watching over them and ready to help them. He says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you. You see, Moses was just a man, a mere mortal, about to die. But Moses says that the God of Jeshurun will never die. Indeed, in verse 27, he refers to him as the eternal God. And that phrase immediately elevates God. It puts God on a completely different plane from mortal man. Man is weak and frail. He's limited by time. He's subject to death. But not God. He's eternal. He's without beginning and without end. There's never been a time when God wasn't. And there'll never be a time when God isn't. He always was, he always is, and he always will be what he is. He never changes. He's the eternal God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as human beings, we change, don't we? We change physically. We get older. You know, I remember a few months ago, I went back home to Morecambe for a school reunion. And it was all very nice. It was held in the Midland Hotel on the promenade, and it was very, very nice indeed. But you know, for many of us, it was the first time we'd seen each other for more than 50 years. Now just imagine that. The last time we were all together, we were bright, young, lively, energetic sixth formers waiting to go to university. Well, look at us now. The years have taken their toll. We all change physically, we change emotionally, don't we? We have our ups and downs, our varying moods. Some days we feel good, other days not so good. And then too, our circumstances are constantly changing. At home, at work, in the church. Nothing remains exactly the same for any length of time. We are constantly subject to change, but not God. He's always the same. He can't change for the better because he's perfect. And because he's perfect, he can't change for the worse. He's always the same. He never ceases to be what he is. As the old hymn puts it, thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And oh, what a blessing that is, to know that God never changes. Just imagine how dreadful it would be if God were fickle, if God were unpredictable, if we never really knew how God was going to be from one day to the next. How dreadful that would be. He'd be a God we couldn't trust. He'd be a God we could never rely upon. But because he's a God who never changes, we can trust him implicitly. We can trust him at all times. Because he's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, Moses here reminds the tribes of Israel, and the Spirit of God reminds us this morning that this great and glorious God, this God who is eternal, majestic, all-powerful, unchanging, incomparable, this great and glorious God, he rides on the heavens. The picture we have there is of God with great power and great authority riding across the sky in a chariot. And what is God doing? Well, God is watching over his people. People like you and me. Spurgeon says there is never a moment, night or day, when the great mind of the eternal God is not thinking about us. Even when others forget us, he never does. Whatever our needs, whatever problems or difficulties we might have, he's always watching over us. And he's always waiting and willing and ready and able to help us. Because he's a great and glorious God. He's a God who is perfect, a God who has no weaknesses or limitations. Moses says there is no one. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The glory of God. But then notice secondly, Moses speaks also of the grace of God. He says the eternal God is your refuge, or it could be translated, your dwelling place. You see, though God is eternal and concerned about eternal things, he's also gracious and he's concerned about the things of earth. He's concerned about people like you and me. Indeed, that's what the gospel message is all about. Through the miracle of the incarnation, God became man in the person of Christ. He came to live amongst us. He took upon himself human flesh. He became one of us. And for what purpose? Well, in order to save us through his death upon the cross. And the cross is the greatest demonstration of love that this world has ever seen. Paul says in Romans 5, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how concerned God is about you and me. So concerned, he sent his Son to die on the cross. He's intimately concerned about each one of us. And he was also concerned about the children of Israel. You see, as the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, they had no permanent home. They had no permanent dwelling place. They were constantly on the move. And yet, in a sense, they did have a home. They did have a dwelling place because God himself was their home. Moses says, the eternal God is your dwelling place. And you know, the same is true of every believer. In God, we've found a home for our souls. We've found a dwelling place. And just as home is the place where we feel loved and cared for, the place where we find peace and rest and joy and safety and security, so in God, we find everything that our souls desire. In God, we find everything that our souls crave for. Indeed, you remember those words of Augustine. God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in him. You know, many years ago in the town of Tunbridge Wells in Kent, this was in the late 19th century, there was an outstanding evangelical clergyman by the name of Canon Edward Hall. In his younger days, he'd been an England cricketer. Well, the story is told that one day, a wealthy man called at the vicarage, and he said that he would like to choose and purchase a plot of ground in the churchyard for his own burial. And so Canon Hall took the man into the churchyard, and eventually the man chose the plot of ground where, when the time came, he wanted his body to be laid to rest. Well, the vicar and the man returned to the vicarage, and when all the necessary forms had been signed and all the paperwork had been completed, just as the man was about to leave, Canon Hoare stopped him. And he said to the man, "Would you mind if I asked you a question?" And the man said, "No, go ahead." "Well," said Canon Hoare, "today you've chosen a resting place for your body. But can I ask you this most important question? Have you found a resting place for your soul?" And for a moment there was silence. And then the man looked at the vicar. And he said, "You know what, vicar? You're the first man who's ever asked me that question." And a few days later, because of the vicar's faithful witness, that man did indeed find a resting place for his soul by putting his faith and trust in Christ. Oh, let me ask you this morning, have you found a resting place for your soul? Have you come to Christ? Have you trusted him? He's the only saviour of sinners. Through faith in Christ, has God become your refuge? Has God become your home, your dwelling place? Moses speaks of the glory of God. He says there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. He speaks of the grace of God. He says the eternal God is your refuge, your dwelling place. And then thirdly, can we notice this? He also speaks of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, God, of course, doesn't literally have arms. God is spirit. He doesn't have a physical body. But sometimes the Bible uses language that speaks as if God did have a physical body. For example, in Exodus 31, we are told that Moses received the Ten Commandments, which were written with the finger of God. And then in the book of Isaiah, on several occasions, Isaiah speaks of the mouth of the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 5. Isaiah says, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And the psalmist too. There's that lovely verse in Psalm 34, where David says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Well, obviously, God doesn't literally have fingers. He doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have eyes. He doesn't have ears. Clearly, those words are being used figuratively and not literally. They are what theologians call anthropomorphisms. Well, that's a long word for a Sunday morning in January. But it simply means that in order to help us understand different aspects of God's character and God's work, God has chosen to reveal himself to us through human language, through terms and phrases that we can very easily understand. Well, that's exactly what we have here. Moses says, underneath are the everlasting arms. And what a beautiful phrase that is. What a lovely promise for each one of us to take with us this morning. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, no matter how difficult or frustrating, or disappointed it might be, God is there. God is with us to strengthen us, to support us, to hold us, to keep us. Moses says, underneath, underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, I remember a few weeks before Christmas, we took our three young grandsons to Heaton Park in Manchester to see this spectacular Christmas light and lantern display. I think it was called Lightopia, and it was really quite amazing. But by the end of the evening, our youngest grandson, Joe, is just 2.5. He was absolutely shattered. And he was just too tired to walk back to the car park. And so Linda lifted him up and she put him on my shoulders. and I began to walk with Joe on my shoulders. And I was okay for a while. But then my arms and shoulders really began to ache. I had to put him down. So Linda very nobly picked him up, and she began to carry him. But it wasn't long before her arms and shoulders too began to ache, and she too had to put him down. Well, that's how it is at the human level. Our arms get weak and tired and weary, but not the arms of Almighty God. His arms are strong arms. And his arms are loving arms. In the person of Christ, those arms were stretched out on a cross in order to save us. And his arms are everlasting arms. They're arms that we can always lean upon, and he'll never let us fall. And in those arms, we're eternally saved. We're eternally secure. He'll hold us. He'll keep us to the very end. Indeed, we have the promise of Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I know my sheep. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. In the hands of Christ, in the hands of the living God, we're eternally safe, we're eternally secure. Let me close this morning with a story. Many years ago, in the late 19th century, there was a well-known evangelist by the name of Henry Moorhouse. He was born in the Ardwick area of Manchester. He spent some time in America working with the well-known evangelist D.L. Moody. Well, Henry Moorhouse had just one child, and she was rather badly disabled. And she was unable to walk. And one day, Henry Moorhouse came home, and he had with him this fairly large parcel. It was a present for his wife, who was ill upstairs in bed. And when his little girl saw the parcel, she said to her dad, she said, I'll take that upstairs to Mummy. Oh, no, he said, I'm sorry. You won't be able to do that. Oh, yes, she said, I can. Give me the parcel. So very reluctantly, he placed the parcel in his daughter's arms. And then she looked at her dad, and she said, now, Dad, you carry me, and I'll carry the parcel. Well, you know, in life, we all have burdens to carry. And sometimes those burdens seem far too heavy for us to bear. But you know, we don't have to carry those burdens alone. We can always lean on the Lord. He's always there. And underneath are his everlasting arms. The old hymn says, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Moses speaks of the glory of God. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun. He speaks of the grace of God. The eternal God is your refuge, your dwelling place. And he speaks of the goodness of God. He says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, may God's word be a blessing and an encouragement to us this morning. May we too be able to say that God is our refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms.